This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I was right. The sun did come up at 7:12. So once again, the meteorologist nailed it right on the button. Highs of 76 today. Right now it's 53, going up to 80 tomorrow. Plenty of sunshine. Likewise on Friday, same thing. But then Saturday for the St. Patrick's Day parades, I guess maybe a chance for some rough weather that could happen in the afternoon. The timing's not exact on that yet, but we'll let you know as soon as they tell us. Then Sunday and Monday, nice. And all of next week, really nice and spring-like. A little bit cooler with highs in the lower 70s. And a formed electorate is a key part of a functioning democracy. And we're going to take an hour to try to inform the electorate about some amendments that are coming up on the ballot in Louisiana. And we start with Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. How you doing, Daniel?
Hey, Tommy, good to be with you. I'm doing great.
Tell me about the election. Is the election, I guess it's an election. Would you call it an election? I guess so. That's when
it
people
is.
Vote. It's an election, yeah. Even though it's it's on March 29th. Is there early voting, do you know, on this?
Yes, early voting starts on Saturday, this Saturday.
So even all the more reason to be an informed electorate. Tell me what people have a chance to vote on and why it's important that, I guess, is the Pelican Institute in favor of all four of these amendments? Or are there more than four?
There are four. Okay. We have taken a position on three of them. We have recommended a yes vote on one, two, and four. And we don't have an official position on three. They're happy to talk through some of that. So
let's talk about
important.
One. Let's start with with what you guys have positions on. Tell me about Amendment 1. What would that do?
That sounds great. So Amendment 1 is a judiciary one. It does two things. It codifies in the Constitution the ability for the state Supreme Court to regulate out-of-state attorneys who are practicing in Louisiana. And it gives the legislature the ability to create specialty courts. These specialty courts like drug courts, reentry courts, business courts, these have been very successful here in Louisiana and across the country in a variety of ways. And we think this is a great thing for the legislature to be able to do.
So tell me what it does without out-of-state lawyers.
So there's been some drama over lawyers from Texas who've come in, especially after hurricanes, and behaved badly in some lawsuits against insurance companies and others. And so the Supreme Court, of course, has the ability to regulate Louisiana lawyers. That's its job, or part of its job. And it's widely accepted that the Supreme Court should regulate out-of-state attorneys who practice in Louisiana. But this codifies it in the Constitution, and that's an appropriate place for that to be.
That would make every bit of sense. I don't understand who could be against that or why it took so long for this to happen. Am I missing something?
No, I agree. I think this was, you know, there was a problem that emerged. There was some question about whether this was a role of the Supreme Court. And again, widely accepted that it is, but this just codifies it into the Constitution.
Let's talk about Amendment number 2 that the Pelican Institute says they're in favor of.
This is the big one. So this is a rewrite, a streamlining of Article 7 of the Constitution, which is where all of the tax and spending part of the Constitution. So a couple of key highlights: a vote yes on Constitutional Amendment 2 does a few things. It caps, it lowers the maximum income tax rate allowed in the Constitution. It pays off about $2 billion in retirement debt in order to make permanent teacher pay raises that have been temporary over the last couple of years. It institutes a government growth limit that ensures that recurring spending at the state level can't grow faster than our population growth and inflation. So it constrains the rapid growth of recurring spending. It protects the homestead exemption and also protects the homestead and other protections for religious institutions, churches, synagogues, other houses of worship. So it's a long and complex constitution or amendment because it starts with Article 7 that was 13,000 words when it started. So this is it is a lot to absorb. I really encourage people to go read either on the Pelican Institute website, pelicanpolicy.org, or PAR, the Public Affairs Research Council, has a great guide. But this one's really important for making sure the tax reform package that happened in November fully gets implemented and we can get the economy humming again.
Somebody texted it in and said if it lowers the maximum income tax rate, that sounds like a tax cut for only a few people in Louisiana for the rich. Your thoughts on that, Daniel? Whoever texted that?
Yeah, so that's right. That's not quite right. A couple of things. First is the actual rate of income tax is set in statute. That is, and that was done in November. It's the income tax is a 3% flat tax for individual filers. That's great news. We support that fully. What has existed in the Constitution previously and will continue to is a cap that says no matter what, the legislature can't raise the tax above a certain amount. That's been 4.75 for the last several years, and this brings us down to 3.75. So it just lowers the maximum rate of income tax.
It doesn't give a tax break to people that are wealthy is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back 7:21 talking to Daniel Erspammer with the Pelican Institute about the ballot measures, four amendments that are up to be voted on March 29th. Early voting starts Saturday, and you really need to know what you're voting for or against when it comes to this because it could change the state. 7:21, traffic now, WWL. I 7:27, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Daniel Erspammer with the Pelican Institute about the amendments that are on the ballot for March 29th. Early voting starts Saturday. We've already talked about, what have we talked about? One and two, right, Daniel?
Two, that's right.
One and two. Three, you have no position on. Tell me about Amendment 4.
So Amendment 4 is also relative to the judiciary. This is really more of a technical change. So as the state moved to this deals with when an election is held, when there's a vacancy for a judge. And so basically right now the Constitution says that an election must be called in the next 12 months, and then there's an appointment by the Supreme Court into the role temporarily. What this change says is that the special election to fill the vacancy shall be held at the next available election date, so the next currently scheduled election date. It does this for two reasons. One is to recognize a different election calendar now that the legislature has implemented closed party primaries in a number of races. So just make sure these elections happen more quickly. And again, so that we're not waiting 12 months with a temporary judge in place, that it ensures these elections happen at the next available time without adding a special election, a new cost to the book. So it's a technical cleanup based on some changes in the election calendar and ensuring we get our judges elected into place as quickly as possible.
Daniel, I'm going to have Jan Moeller on next. He sees it differently than you do, but I know one thing he's going to tell me is that Amendment 2 takes Louisiana back to budget gimmicks here, popularized, it says, by Governor Jindal, where one-time dollars are used to pay for ongoing government expenses. To that, you would say what, my friend?
Yeah, you know, my friend Jan, I respect him and like him a lot. He's wrong on this one. So as we look at this, what he's referring to is one of the things that Constitutional Amendment 2 will do is is take a few billion dollars that are tied up into savings accounts and what we call dedicated funds. These dedicated funds want you to think non-reviewed government spending. It's just sort of locked in by legislators from years ago. Imagine your budget, household budget or small business budget was crafted by your crazy uncle 50 years ago and represented those priorities rather than the priorities today. It would make it very hard to run your household or small business. So this frees up dollars. It's smart, thoughtful budgeting. So I disagree with Jan on this one.
You know, as you say that, I realize I've never had a crazy uncle. My uncles were very well balanced and very good role models. Have you ever had a crazy uncle or not?
No, I've been blessed with that too. So, hey, you know.
I don't know where that phrase came from. I had an aunt or two that was nuts. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Tommy. Have a good one.
You bet. Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. We'll get the other side from Jan Moeller when we come back. 7:30, time now, WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker making our way through a beautiful Wednesday spring morning with you. We are talking about the ballot, the amendments that are on the ballot on March 29th. Early voting starts on Saturday, and it can never hurt to know what the hell you're voting on, right? At least that's the way we see it here. We've already talked to Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. You can download the Odyssey app, use the rewind feature, or go to WWL.com and click on my name, and at that point you'll be able to find the audio when it's posted of what Daniel had to say about the amendments. He said the Pelican Institute has no position on Amendment 3, but is in favor of numbers 1, 2, and 4. With that, we welcome in Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana, who I presume sees it differently, especially since Daniel said in the previous segment, my good friend Jan is wrong on this one. How are you, Jan?
I'm great. It's great to be with you, Tommy. And I would say the same thing about my good friend Daniel.
It'd be pretty boring.
We agree on number three.
But it'd be pretty boring if everybody agreed on everything, don't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So let's talk about these amendments. First of all, does Invest in Louisiana have opinions on all four? Just three, two, what?
We do. Actually, I think the one that we've been mostly focused on is number two, which I think is a horrendously long and complicated rewrite of the Constitution that deserves a lot more scrutiny than it's gotten. But we're really of the opinion that none of these need to pass. I don't think we have a strong feeling about number four, but one, two, and three are certainly bad policy that we don't need here in Louisiana.
Long rewrite of the Constitution. That's quite a statement. Tell me why.
Well, Amendment 2, you remember a year ago, Governor Landry wanted to have a constitutional convention. He proposed doing it in 2 weeks at the end of the session and with his own hand-picked delegates. That was the plan a year ago. The Senate said no to that very wisely. The governor said at the time the reason he wanted to do it so quickly is he wanted to get this on the November 6th ballot when turnout is high. Well, this amendment was kind of the backup plan. And what happened here is, you know, they came in a special session in November. They passed this. And I'm going to say, you know, Daniel Erspammer played a huge role in writing this. So there's no doubt that they're in favor of it. This is a 115-page rewrite of the longest section of the Constitution. We don't have nearly enough time in this segment to go over everything it does. But it's boiled down to 91 words on the ballot, very misleading words. But I think in essence what this does is it puts a lot of new handcuffs on state government in their ability to deal with the budget, to deal with the ups and downs of the economy. And it may not be apparent next week or next month or even next year, but there are tools that Louisiana is going to need to deal with the economic ups and downs that are coming that we're not going to have if this passes.
Okay, what would those look like? Who would it benefit? Who would it hurt, those handcuffs you speak of?
Well, there's something in there I think a lot of people are going to think sounds good called a government growth limit, which basically says even if we have the money available in Louisiana, we can't spend it on new and ongoing programs. And I think the reason that's important is, first of all, you never know if the legislature might want to, you know, pay teachers fairly or fund early childhood education or put more money into college education, they could be thwarted by the growth limit, even if there's money available. And so I think that's a problem. They've had these things in other states, and they've been very problematic. And so there's that. And I think the reason that's important is, you know, we see what's coming down from Washington, where they're threatening to cut Medicaid. They're threatening to eliminate the Department of Education, to eliminate FEMA. So Louisiana could be forced to pick up a lot more of the cost of these services we've been getting from Washington for generations. And if we pass this amendment, that could become a lot harder.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back with Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana, giving us his side or their side of the amendments and how they are opposed to one. I'm getting my numbers right here. Two and three and four, not so much. Is that right?
You know, it's mostly a technical one. I don't think we have a huge opinion on that one.
All right, we'll pick it up. We come back. Traffic now, WWL. 7:56, Tommy Tucker, WWL. On March 29th, we get to vote on four amendments, early voting Saturday. Amendment 2 would, how did you phrase that? Rewrite of the Constitution. Is that what you said? Although it's only 100 words on the ballot?
It's 91 words on the ballot. It's a 115-page bill that would become not just the law of the land, but would be added to the Constitution if this passes. And Tommy, I think you could ask 144 legislators, and none of them could tell you everything that is in this rewrite. And that, I think, alone is a reason to take a pause.
Not only what's in it, Jan, but my concern would be the results of it, maybe consequences both intended and unintended, who would either be favor some, maybe hurt others, or just nobody saw this coming because of the process. Talk about the process with which this was put together, please.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's a great point about unintended consequences. We just heard this week that folks like, you know, Woody Jenkins and people on the religious right have been up in arms because it narrows the nonprofit tax exemption for churches. That is something that didn't even come up during the debate. So, yeah, this was the backup plan to the constitutional convention that Jeff Landry wanted to have and wasn't able to will into existence last year. So they went back instead in a special session and rewrote the longest section of the Constitution, Article 7, and that's the ballot that's the bill that became Amendment 2. The last time we did this, more than 50 years ago, when we had a constitutional convention in Louisiana, that process took like 2.5 years. We had a whole election. We elected delegates to that convention. Those delegates met for a year in public meetings, and they actually wrote the Constitution. Representative Julie Emerson, who sponsored this bill, I guarantee you she didn't write the bill. Somebody else wrote this bill for her. And again, I think this is a very serious issue. The public needs to have more time to understand what's in it and really go through it and have that robust public debate that we didn't have during the 16-day special session in November. Tommy, I've been around the legislature for 22 years now. I've seen more conversation about a $50,000 cost overrun on a bridge than I saw on this amendment as it was going through the process.
All right, thank you, Jan. Appreciate your time, as always. Tell me the website people can go to if they want to find out more about Invest in Louisiana or your opinion on these amendments.
InvestLouisiana.org. And thank you for having me on, Tommy, as always.
You're quite welcome. And I'll also tell people that for the Pelican Institute, to find out where they stand on this, you can go to, I'm getting the site for you right now, as the clock ticks down, you can go to PelicanPolicy.org, and you can see where they stand. The Pelican Institute for Public Policy, the website PelicanPolicy.org, you can see where they stand on the amendments. We'll talk to Jose Batista, professor of economics at Xavier, when we come back. Are you worried about the stock market last couple of days? Are you worried about the economy? What about a recession? We'll talk about it when we come back.